10 o'clock hour.
Wildea Tausch begins now. So, as you know, I've become intrigued by the YouTube comments section, the chat. So over on ESPN Madison's YouTube channel, I've got William, who found our Evan Cohen conversation and debate to be a waste of time.
It's fair. I can understand how people would feel.
Let's argue for an instance that is not reality. Pick a topic to argue, like pass rusher. Well, again, that was my plan for the start of the 10 o'clock hour. So, Will, I hope you stayed, because we got that for you. Now, in the ESPN Milwaukee comments, Jay.
Retired Navy fella?
No. The Evan Cohen segment was awesome.
That's funny how
And
that
I would
works.
Love to see Tausch debate Chewy.
Yeah, I'd debate Chewy.
Dan. Hey, Jesse, can you arrange a drinking night with Tausch, Evan, and I? You and Jason could join us as well.
Well, they
so
can watch,
some differing opinions.
Jason and Evan don't drink, so that would be like when we go to dinner, and Evco isn't going to eat. It's kind of the same principle.
By the way, just a quick update. It was a clogged filter. As of now, knock on wood, my wash machine is functioning properly. So.
All right.
Got a lot of gunk out of there. Removed a lot of gook and gunk.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Well,
so Evan plays better on the Milwaukee YouTube than the Madison YouTube, where he went to school and is a proud alum of UW-Madison.
The Las Vegas of the Midwest, from what I understand.
Interesting.
All right. I want to get to this pass rush issue because I've been very taken aback by some of the numbers that I have looked at. And you and I mentioned this on one of our other shows yesterday. There's not much. I mean, we have our moments, no doubt about it. But we usually are pretty genial in our arguing. I mean, usually you back down from what some people have told you, apparently. But, like, we were pretty vehemently opposed in our opinions on Rashawn Gary's career to the point where we had that big argument, right? You wanted him to be, you believed he was an elite pass rusher.
Yeah, prior to him blowing his knee out, his win rate on rushes was pretty high.
Yeah, and now it's not.
Doesn't seem that way.
His pass rush win percentage, according to Pro Football Focus through four games, is 3%. 3%.
Woof.
2022, 17.1. 2023, 16.0, and that was coming off of a torn ACL. In the words of Vince Lombardi, what the hell's going on out here, old T?
Yeah, I think of all the things that we can sit and be concerned about, and I was in the camp of, especially against Philadelphia, you know, Jalen Hurts' biggest weapon to me is his ability to run the football. I mean, he's fine. He's not somebody that scares me. Judgment on quarterbacks is, do I want him in on a 3rd and 6 when you can blitz, and can he make the reads in the pocket consistently to win? Jalen Hurts has proven that he's a good quarterback. I don't know if he's taken that next step, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but you have to harness, you have to mush rush and keep him in. So I wasn't overly concerned after that first week, which, he, by the way, he did have a sack in that first week. That's his only sack of the year, I do declare. And then the next week, I think you play Indy. Richardson's a big dude, very mobile. Same basic principles. He's a one-read guy, and then he wants to run with the football. So you have to be incredibly disciplined with your rush, right?
Sure.
So after 2 weeks, my concern level, not great.
Right.
Then
not
you
very
get
high.
To week three against the quarterback. While every quarterback now has that athleticism for the most part, there are some statues. But for the most part, everybody you have to kind of be looking at, they got after his blank. And, Rashawn Gary didn't have sacks. I don't know what his pressure numbers were. But I really felt like last week, you're playing Sam Darnold, who, he's not a bad athlete, but he's not somebody that I'm freaking out about. I'm saying get to him, ghost him up, rattle his cage, make him feel it. And when you don't do that, you're rushing for, you expect your guys to get home. And Kenny Clark, you can put him in that category. Devontae Wyatt. I was really disappointed with how this group played, especially in that first half, and especially to start the game, in a game in which you knew you were going to struggle offensively, and in a game in which you understood that Jair wasn't going to be playing, and you're playing the best receiver in football. Your plan has to be, I can't let Sam Darnold just sit back and be comfortable. So everybody wants to, you know, get after Rashawn Gary, and I get it. You're the numbers that, again, I don't know where you got the numbers from.
Pro Football Focus.
Okay, take that for what it's worth, but has he been the player that I hoped he'd be at this point? No. He has not had that kind of breakout season, which, coming back from the ACL, I thought he would. That's the thing. If this defense wants to go next level, the game we saw against Tennessee is what that goal should be.
Sure.
Those guys need to be better up front. You need to be able to win with four. You can't just assume you need to blitz and you need to do all those things, because you're then paying Paul to rob Peter.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Whatever.
Yep.
Uh-huh. The basic principle of that is the great defenses get pass rush with four. The Green Bay Packers have allocated a ton of draft capital and resources to that front. What we saw on Sunday, particularly in the first half, wasn't good enough. And I'm not going to defend. I'm not going to just blindly defend people. If it's not there, it's not there. It wasn't there. And now you need to crank it up and figure out, how can we get more pressure? If that's moving guys around, if it's bringing in, keeping guys fresher, I don't know the answer. Jeff Hafley better. Rashawn Gary better. Kenny Clark better. Devontae Wyatt if he's healthy. Preston Smith. You didn't rattle old boy's cage enough, and that's why you ended up losing that football game on Sunday.
So, should we be worried, or should we take the same approach we took to this loss, which was relax, they're going to be okay? Because that is the one aspect of this defense that, in addition to vision and break, creating more interceptions, which that actually has occurred, this is the one area where we haven't seen what we were promised. And you're right about the first two games. I would argue that that's a little bit crutchy to me, because you still have to be able to create pressure with those guys. Like, you can't, right? Like, you can't just completely chalk it all up to, we just didn't want them to run on us.
I understand you saying it's crutchy, but it's not, and I'll tell you why. Because you go in with a game plan of, how am I going to attack this quarterback? You need to attack him up the middle, and you can't let elusive quarterbacks escape the pocket. You need to keep them corralled. And I always want to play. Your defense needs to take away the strengths of what the opposing offensive player, and especially quarterback, has.
Okay.
And if that quarterback is really good at getting out to the right side, Russell Wilson back in his heyday, he always rolled right. So you'd bring pressure from the right, forcing him left. Does that make the pass rush from the left side as vibrant, because your job then is to corral? No. You have to figure out, what does this quarterback want to do, and how can we put him in a position of things he doesn't want to do? Jalen Hurts doesn't want to sit in the pocket. He doesn't want interior rush. He wants to be able to pat and run and get outside and slither through a defensive end if he gets pushed up the field, and get clean pockets. So it's not a crutch. It's the reality of the situation. Continue.
Well, I'm looking at Jalen Hurts' career, and you're right. You know, he has not been sacked an inordinate amount of times, but there are a couple of years here, and they would be his best years. 13 sacks in 2020, 26 in 2021. He was sacked 38 times the year he was the runner-up for MVP. 38 times.
Okay.
So that's twice a game, right?
Yeah, Green Bay got him twice.
36 times in 2023. And he's been sacked 13 times through four games. So that's an average of three a game.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that there's not merit to the we had a rush differently argument. I'm just saying that let's not just chalk that up to, oh, well, throw our hands up in the air and say, well, we were facing a mobile quarterback. We couldn't get after him the way we wanted to. You could have still been more productive than they were. Is that a fair position?
I'm not saying they couldn't have been more productive. All I'm saying is there's a cause and effect to things. And if your goal coming into a game is to keep a quarterback in the pocket, which, by the way, a lot of games, that is the goal.
I understand
that's what
that.
You do. Yep. And you also have to look at, you know, is there chipping and how there's a lot of other things, but Rashawn Gary has not been the dominant force that I anticipated he'd be. Those are also facts. So both can be true. And it's more about how many pressures and how many times he's hitting the quarterback. I'm not all about, oh, he doesn't have 15 agreed. Sacks. He's not great.
Yep, agreed. That's not the only measure, but he's got one. And Lane Johnson is still arguing that that play should have been blown dead. I just don't think that they, as a group, and him specifically, but here's my question. Is it fair for fans to utilize the contract as part of the evaluation equation? I would say it is.
Yes. Absolutely it is. With great responsibility becomes great. How does that saying go?
With very large contracts comes very large expectations. Yeah. With great power comes great responsibility.
And with great, and you're being paid top dollar or big time money, you're expected to do more. That's the reality of the NFL.
That's why you're getting paid.
If Carl Brooks gets a $30 million a year contract, I'm certainly going to expect him to do more than what he's doing. But Carl Brooks is a young player. He gets in, you know, a lot less, and if he can create havoc. And by the way, I saw a couple of clips. He created havoc. I still think the boys up at 565 Analytics probably should evaluate a little more film before they make their predictions.
Go.
But I'm, again, I am a
loyal 565.
Yesterday
you said you were totally content
and
not upset.
Well, I saw more film. I saw more film from Carl. I don't know exactly. Bo Melton, what did he do? He picked up a muffed punt. Yeah, great.
He had like a 30-yard catch.
He was
too.
Fine. I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, you are
but
arguing
my, it. Yes, is it fair for someone that's getting paid big dollars to have big expectations on big-time production? Yeah, it is.
All right. I want to come back and play just the clip of my question to Matt LaFleur about this. I want you to interpret his response so then
I hope he saw you so he didn't get mad because we'd hate to justify that. I still can't believe you justified that with a ham sandwich. Like, that still blows my mind. Your ham sandwich metaphor yesterday was just remarkable.
We'll hear from Matt LaFleur. Next is Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
LaFleur yesterday, in one of my shortest questions of my career, what do you make of the pass rush or something to that effect? I think we'll hear it. Jesse, you've got the long-winded question to go along with the... Oh, jeez. All right, we need to get to Bill Schroeder. So what a great time for you to start... putzing around back there.
Hotkeys?
No.
You're not giving me hotkey access?
I can't hear Jason now when he's throwing to the audio.
Okay, throw him to the audio, Jesse. I'll help you.
What'd you think of your pass rush yesterday?
It wasn't up to our standard, no doubt about it. And give them credit. I do think they have a good offense line, particularly that their tackles are pretty good players. But I thought collectively as a unit, they did a really nice job. They did a good job utilizing chips on the edges. I thought the backs helped out in pass pro pretty good. So all in all, I don't think it was good enough, especially when we had the four-man rushes. We were able to generate some pressure, obviously, when we started to give them some of those looks where we mugged up our backers in the A gaps. Quay got through one time on that second and long to sack him, to sack Darnold and make it third and forever. Obviously, Keyshawn came untouched off the edge. That was a big time play in the game that really gave us an opportunity to get back in the game and make it a close game.
So Tausch, while you search for your hotkeys.
Nah, Jesse's not giving me the hotkeys.
I thought it was really interesting that his answer, it was not up to our standard, and then he circles back, but then he kind of filibusters about what a good job the Vikings did with their chips and their picking up protection in the backfield. That's because he doesn't want to spend any more time talking about how bad their own pass rush is, right? That's what he's doing there?
Well, I mean, I think both things can be true. I mean, I did think you guys know I've been a big fan of Minnesota's left tackle. I think he's really good.
Darrisaw.
And then go to O'Neal at the other side. So there comes a little part of that, too. But you have to figure some things out as it goes. Boy, I don't like that angle. You have to figure things out from a coaching standpoint, too. If you're not getting home, best play in the game was when they had Keyshawn come off the edge, you know, as a nickel blitz and Brent comes out, makes that play. You have to come up with some creative ways, too, if you're not getting there. So, yes, you're going to want your guys to win their one-on-ones. And it's your job to set them up for that, up for those opportunities. He's obviously disappointed that they didn't win more of them. That's on the players. All coaches can do, especially on the defensive side of the ball, is get your best players in one-on-one situations. If that means you mug up linebackers like he had commented on, that changes how you protect. You have to keep a guard. You can't slide protections. You have to take the most dangerous player. And that allows you to put more one-on-ones. You can't chip a back if you walk that linebacker up that the back is responsible for. He can't go out and chip Rashawn or Preston Smith. You have to continue to mix and match and play that chess. You don't want to just line up four down. All right. Yep. Don't make it easy. You have good players. Make sure they still have to execute. And right now, Green Bay's front four. When you talk about what we saw Sunday, it wasn't good enough for a home game with the crowd noise and everything else. Minnesota outplayed Green Bay up front. That's why that played out the way that it did.
We'll get back to the Packers a little bit later, but the Brewers begin their hunt for Brew October with their first playoff game today, 4:32 first pitch on WTMJ, our sister station, the home of the Brewers. We will talk to Bill Schroeder, our favorite analyst, other than Tausch, of course, when it comes to Wisconsin sports, from Bally Sports Wisconsin. Bill Schroeder joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Put me in, coach. That's what the girls at the end of the Martin Luther High School Spartans girls basketball team were telling Bill Schroeder to tell Dave Bangert. Whether or not he conveyed that message for them, I don't know. But he is still our favorite former high school assistant basketball coach, and more importantly, our favorite when it comes to talking Brewers. It is Bill Schroeder on Wilde and Tausch. Bill, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Fired up, man. I can't wait to get to the ballpark today and, get to, smell the grills and see all that. Nothing like October baseball here in Wisconsin. I can't wait.
Are you at all nervous, given the way the past several years have gone for our guys in the postseason?
I'm not nervous. I'm not looking back. I mean, this is a completely different group, different manager. I think Pat Murphy has done an outstanding job bringing all these young guys throughout the year to where they're at right now. Did you ever imagine? I know, and I'm one of the most positive guys in the world. I didn't ever imagine going into spring training that these guys would have been going away, winners of the division and winners of 93 games. I was stunned. And I think it's a tribute to these young kids. And the reason why nobody was really giving them a chance was because they're so young. They all performed beautifully. I mean, Jackson Churio from June 1st until the present has been unbelievable. And, you know, that was the old Brewers. That was years ago. I mean, it's been great success for the Brewers, but I think that this team has something special. They have power. They have speed. They have defense. The pitching's been fantastic. Bullpen is healthy. I'm excited. I think they can go a long way.
Bill, is this the most enjoyable season for you because of the things you just mentioned, the, you know, the newness, and you got all these young guys and the expectations? Where would you rank this season as far as in your 30 years illustriously that you've been doing this?
Yeah, it's hard to put it really and rank them, but 2018 was certainly a magical year. You know, getting into the NLCS and one game away from the World Series and, you know, all of that. And I think this is the most surprising year that I've ever had here as a broadcaster, you know, for the Brewers, you know, with expectations. Maybe a 500 season would have been good going into the season, but the way these guys have performed and the way the defense, I mean, look at this defense. I mean, you know, there are two infielders that really have really surprised everybody. Is Joey Ortiz at third base and Bryce Turang at second base. These guys have been unbelievable to watch on a daily basis. It seems like both of them are making great plays on a daily basis. The outfield is taking away home runs and making throws in, and just the way they're winning. I mean, come from behind victories and, you know, 1-0 wins and 12-10 wins and all this kind of stuff. It's been, you just never know what you're going to see at the ballpark. You know what encapsulates the team was that last Sunday against the Diamondbacks, where they were down 8-0. They had really no reason to, you know, panic or anything. They had already won a division. They come back and win that game down 8-0. That's something you don't see every day. I think Pat Murphy, I think Ricky Weeks has had a lot to do with the mentality of this team and the toughness, because, you know, when Ricky was here, there's not a tougher guy mentally or physically that I've ever seen, you know, in a Brewer uniform. And I think he has really imparted a lot of that toughness on this team. And, you know, Pat Murphy likes to say the undaunted thing, and that's a great way to describe this team. They don't seem to get their heads down. They don't seem to be affected by a whole lot day to day. And that's a tribute to Pat Murphy and the coaching staff.
But what has Willy Adames meant to this team? I mean, it's obviously been a great pickup, what he's been able to do. But I loved the fact that Murph kind of pulled him out and let the fans mm-hmm. show him some love, being that, you know, mm-hmm. the odds are he's not going to be back next year. We don't know for sure. But what has mm-hmm. he meant to the overall clubhouse?
Well, not only to the club, but I think the fan base. I think the people that work at the ballpark, you know, me and Brian and Levering and Duke. And I mean, he has time for every single person that comes up to him. And it's not like, you know, in distant passing, "Hi, Rock, how you doing?" He will stop. He'll look you in the eye. He'll shake your hand. He'll give you a firm handshake, even if he's in a hurry to go get somewhere. But, you know, say what you want. I mean, everything on the field, that's an obvious thing, the 100-plus RBIs, the 30-plus home runs. The fact that he started every game but one this year. I mean, that speaks volumes. I mean, you love to see a guy that wakes up in the morning, goes to the ballpark, and expects to play. And that's something you don't see a whole lot of. You don't see guys play every game in the big leagues anymore. That's a special thing. But what he does for everybody around him. I mean, Willy Adames, I mean, there was a few homestands ago. The Brewers had a pretty good homestand. I forget who they were playing, but he had a hitless homestand. And it was like something like 0 for 13, 0 for 14, made a couple of errors. And you would never know the fact that he did not have a good series or a good homestand by the way he handled himself, the way he was rooting for his teammates, the way he always had a smile on his face. So that is a true leader, a guy that, you know, cares more about those around him than what he actually does on the field. He's got a lot of pride in what he does, but he really makes everybody around him a lot better.
Billy, I'm curious about your scouting report on the Mets since they were just in town. And it's like deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would say. But how do you feel about this matchup? Tausch was suggesting earlier that if the MLB allowed teams to pick their matchups instead of just being bracketed, that he would have picked the Braves. You're not in charge of making those type of picks. So how do you feel about the matchup, and what do you see in this matchup?
Well, I like the fact that the Brewers are facing the Mets. You know, I was a little bit nervous about Arizona waltzing on in here again, like they did last year. I mean, you know, Arizona did a number on the crew at the end of the season this year, winning 3 out of 4, and almost swept that series had the Brewers not been able to come back. But, you know, the starting pitching for the Mets has been tremendous, and it's been there all year. And Luis Severino, today's starter for the Mets, has had a good season. Although, you know, Freddie Peralta has been just as good. The numbers are very similar. But, you know, the Mets, they have Francisco Lindor. And if the Brewers are able to control that guy, I think they're going to be in good shape. They did a pretty good job against Pete Alonso. That's not an easy thing to do. I mean, he can break out and hit home runs at any time. Mets' defense has not been very good this year. And I will say this, you know, the fact that the last couple of days, Sunday and Monday, their closer Diaz has thrown 60 pitches. I'm not quite sure why the Mets decided to pitch him on Sunday with a 5-0 lead. I'm not quite sure why they did that, knowing that, you know, they were going to go into Atlanta and maybe have to have him pitch in both ends of a doubleheader. Who knows? But he threw a lot of pitches yesterday. He will probably not be available today, and you don't know what his effectiveness is going to be on Wednesday. So I think the Brewers have an advantage in the bullpen for sure. It's just a matter of whether the Brewers are going to be able to, you know, get the hits when they need them. You know they're going to be running wild. I mean, it's one of those things where that's something that the teams that they've been playing this year just can't defend, their team speed and their wiliness on the bases. It's been a lot of fun. So I like the matchup. I like it much more than I would have liked to see the Diamondbacks come in here. But whether it's the Mets or the Braves, I don't think it really matters to anybody.
And when you look at where the Brewers' pitching staff is set up for this series, how do you feel about how that falls?
That's great. I mean, Freddie Peralta, I mean, this is a guy that he got 200 strikeouts. So he got 200 strikeouts his last start. I mean, he has been one of the most reliable starters in the big league. He has not missed a start since August of 2022. So when you have his name down as a starter in a series, you know he's going to make that start. And he's been throwing the baseball pretty well. Now, Freddie's got to be able to manage his pitch count a little bit. One thing that Freddie gets in trouble with, he'll get ahead in the count, then he'll try to make that perfect pitch, end up with full counts, a lot of foul balls. So I think if he stays aggressive and doesn't try to get the big strikeout all the time and let the ball get, you know, when you have a defense like the Brewers have, putting the ball in play is not a big deal. I mean, because if it's going to stay in the ballpark, the outfielders are going to grab it. The infielders have been outstanding. But and then you got Frankie Montas. He and Savali have changed the whole landscape, this starting rotation. Once those guys came over here, they have really calmed down that starting rotation. Before they came around, the Brewers had 17 different starters, and yet they were able to win the division by almost 10 games. So, you know, Montas, I like him, a veteran guy. I mean, he has been through the wars before, as has Aaron Savali. So I like it. I mean, it depends. You don't know how it's going to work out. If the Brewers win today, it's going to be Montas. Now, if the Brewers don't win today, it's going to be all hands on deck. You might see the entire bullpen game because it's going to be a short leash for anybody. So I like the pitching. The starting pitching keeps the game, Brewers in the game, but I love the Brewers bullpen over the Mets bullpen for sure.
Talking with Bill Schroeder, as we love to do, as the Brewers get ready for their playoff opener today. Game one against the Mets at AmFam Field. First pitch at 4:32. All right, Bill, two more things before we let you go, because I know you're excited to get to the stadium and get to work. One, Jesse had a stat earlier, which, I mean, when Jesse actually delivers research, it's kind of an unexpected surprise and a positive one, but it did kind of highlight why he is nervous, and that is game one is so important. Jesse, what was the stat? 13 of the 16 series have been 2-0 sweeps?
Yep, 13 of 16 have been 2-0 sweeps between 2020 and then 22 and 23. 14 of the 16, the team that wins game one, has gone on to win the series.
So today's kind of a big one, huh, Billy?
Well, no doubt. I mean, you don't want to be behind the eight ball. Anyway, I'm not quite sure how. I'm not sure how you can dispute those numbers, but
they might not be accurate. We just want to make sure. Don't use those on the broadcast tonight, Bill, because we're not 100% sure Jesse's research is up to par.
Well, actually, you know, I'm going as a fan today because it's all network stuff. We're on ESPN today. You know, it's like, you know, we get the team through the entire season, and then they kind of just kick us to the side.
Well, that's not very nice.
I know that's the way baseball is, but anyway, I'm going to be there. And you know, the first pitch is actually, for me, is the most important. You know, the Brewers have asked me to catch the two first pitches today. Jim Gantner, number one. I'm going to be out there catching. Now, I know I can handle Gantner. I don't think I'm going to be. But the second first pitch is going to be Brandon Woodruff. So I am going to be. I'm going to be handing, you know, Woody a C note. Not that that C note's a big deal for him, but I hope he takes a little bit off. I'm hoping he's not going to be firing some 97, 98 in on me because I'll end up watching the game with an ice bag on my eye. So,
are you getting down in the crouch?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Are your knees in a good spot?
Well, you know what I think I'm going to do? I mean, you watch the way these guys are catching these days. Maybe get on one knee. I think I'll get on one knee because I think that, you know, the right knee is kind of a little tender these days. I'm not quite sure how it happened. I think it was a fishing accident that I had. I kind of slipped down, but anyway, I'm going to do my best, and I'm praying that Brandon Woodruff takes a little bit off, maybe throws a changeup to me. So yeah, I'll be able to enjoy the rest of the series.
Go a little Tony Pena, where he got that leg all the way out.
Yeah, I don't think I'd get up from that. I'll need help. I'll need help. There's no way that's happening. No.
Well, we will. We will bring you back the next time Tausch and I start randomly naming 1980s Major League catchers, which we love to do.
Ron Hassie. Yeah. Ron Hassie.
Here we go.
I might break out an old set of the knee sailors. You remember those things the guys had on the back of their
Yeah, the back of their yeah. legs?
Yeah, to save the knees. I might see if you know, Jason Schauger, the Brewers equipment guy, maybe has a couple of those laying around. We'll see.
Yeah, I love those. I didn't have the most powerful legs, so that was a good rest when I was catching. All right, Bill, one more thing. If you're going as a fan, who are you sitting with? Like, does Levering have to work? Brian Anderson going to be there? Do you guys sit there and then kind of do the game from your row? Like, who are you sitting with, and what are you like as a fan?
Well, I'm going with my wife. I'm going to be sitting in the Miller suite with a bunch of my buddies. But, you know, in the second round of the playoffs, I'm going to be sitting in my seats right in front of the broadcast booth. And I don't know, maybe bring the grandkids. We'll see. But I am planning on having a blast. I don't get to the ballpark as a fan all that much. Every time the Brewers are in the playoffs, of course. But, you know, when the kids were young, even before their Martin Luther High School days, you know, they'd have field trips, and we would sit in the upper deck in the 400 level. And that's quite the experience up there. It was not a bad seat in the house, but we used to go with the kids, you know, to the games every now and again up in the 400 level. That was quite the treat.
All right, we'll let you go on this. You mentioned Gantner that you're going to catch the first pitch from. Have you and I know you arrived a year after this team did what it did in 82, but have you gotten to see just a bit outside the documentary about the 82 Brewers?
I have. You know, when they put that movie together, they sent us all a link to watch that. I watched it twice. Amazing, amazing movie. If you're any kind of a baseball fan or a Brewer fan, you got to go out and see that. That is an amazing thing. They did a great job. You know, you had Pete Vukovich and Ted Simmons, all those guys, you know, Gorman and Gantner. And it's just, you know, just sound bites from those guys. And they encapsulated that 1982 season beautifully. And every now and again, and I'm not a guy that does this a whole lot, I maybe had to wipe a little tear from my eye when I saw Harvey Keene and Audrey. So, those two meant an awful lot to that 82 team. And it was good to see them. But what a fantastic fantastic movie that was, and I urge everybody to go out and check it out.
Yeah.
Amen to
Bill,
that.
Bill, the emotions of Robin at the end of it, without giving too much away, because I know Kelly texted me yesterday, and it's in four or five more theaters. It's doing great. So with the baseball, but the emotions of Robin at the end is what kind of got me.
Yeah, and you don't really see that from a lot of these guys, right? It gives you an idea how much not only that season meant to them, but how much they all meant to each other. And and I see a lot of that. I see not the same quite, but I see a lot of that with this Brewers team this year.
All right, Billy, we appreciate your time. Hopefully we'll talk to you again further down the playoff road, and I'll see you at Fantasy Camp.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, man. That was great. We got to get you back, but anytime you guys want me on, just call. I'd love to have it.
All right. You're the best, man. Thank you for your time. That is the great Bill Schroeder.
Yeah,
we love it.
Bill would do if Jesse finds out where he's sitting at these games, and goes down and just starts doing play-by-play right behind his ear.
Hey, along with Bill Schroeder, it's Jesse
here
Nelson
Bill,
here.
Bill's
game
looking like,
one.
Son of a...
Brewers Mets.
That'd be fun. That would be great.
Don't tempt me, Bill.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize he was still there when you suggested this.
Hey, but no recording, though, because I'm planning on having a couple of pops while I watch the game.
Hey, Bill, who's the tavern of the game today?
That'd be great.
Right, Billy, guys, we love you, man. Out. Thanks.
See you. You too. See you. Bye.
Oh, my God. I didn't
know
he was
still on. I'm certainly glad he was.
Yes. Oh, my God. I don't know how
that
we recover.
100%, Jesse would go out of his way. That would be really fun. I think you should do it.
Not for Bill and his wife.
For everybody. Only fun for Jesse.
Hey, Bill, nice to meet you. The 1-1 to Ortiz. Ooh.
Earlier this broadcast, I said something, and there's a swing and a drive by Adamas.
Let's go over to Sophia in section 103.
We will try to recover. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. To let it get away on the road. But you got no destination in the mind. In the maze of her imagination, your love there.
I think there he is. Washing machine Wildy, we call him today. I think he's up there putting some bolts and screws in.
It's still a problem.
I thought it was fixed.
No, I was wrong. Still struggling. Sorry for the delay.
Richard. I'll send Sarah up there. She'll get it fixed.
No, I don't. I think it may be, as you said at the very beginning, I think the show might be over.
Good run, though. You use that.
Not a good run. 7 years is not a good enough run
Pull
for a wash machine.
What do you expect out of your appliances? Because dishwasher is the one you expect the least from, right? Because there's just so much stuff can
maybe
go wrong.
Microwave.
Microwaves last forever.
That depends how much use you get out of them, I guess.
Okay. Fridge is like the warhorse of it. Like, the fridge is going to get you some time. Dishwasher, washing machine, dryer. Flip a coin.
Well, the good news is if you get a new driveway from Johnson & Sons Paving, you have much higher expectations, and they will definitely not let you down like this LG washing machine has.
Wow, throwing the brand out there, too. Dang,
please.
That's dirty.
Oh, snap.
It's also dirty to have a crappy driveway, and if you do, get ready for spring now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over this winter that is coming. Potholes, crack curbs, drainage issues. If things are bad now, call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed today. Schedule a free, no-obligation quote and a walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs signs of asphalt pavement. Work needed by spotting fatigue, cracking, standing water, warping, buckling, sinking pavement, and more. Don't scare away customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now. Save money later. JohnsonSonsPaving.com. This doing this asphalt completely saved me. I have not messed up old boy's name yet since I've changed my live reads. Ash.
Yeah.
Well, get over it. Are you going to be this upset about a washing machine?
Well, it's,
I'm with you, by the way.
I got a lot of laundry now that I'm going to have to go to a laundromat. I got to order a new washing machine.
It's kind of fun to go to a laundromat, though.
I don't think so.
Smell. You get to. You can write your stories
yeah,
when you're there.
I bet they got Wi-Fi nowadays. That's probably true. All right. I'm not in a great mood.
There's an old place that used to, you could just send it out and they'd bring it back all like bundled up and nice. You'd like wrap it in like old school yarn and they'd stack it nice for you. I don't know if they still exist. I'm not going to give.
Were you alive in the 1950s?
I'm not going to give free advertising out, but it was the opposite of hardworking bones was the name of it. So I can tell you what it was. It was called that, and they would bring it, stack it, fold it, and it would come right to your door. Pop.
And you used this service when you were in college?
One of my roommates did, and we all looked at
Davenport.
I'm not going to get into who
Pasetsky.
It was. I'm not going to get into who it was. But
was he a kicker?
He was not a kicker.
Oh. Let's get Eck on the phone. All right, we will kick off the 11 o'clock hour. We've got Power Rankings Tuesday. We've got trivia. We got Wonelli. That's all still ahead. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.